from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. I spent the break timestamping the Hall of Fame speeches. Andre's got the shortest one so far. Five of the six speeches I've pulled the times on, Seth. The only one I don't have is Julius Peppers is the only one I have not done yet. Andre went 14 minutes and 18 seconds. He was concise. That's what I like about it, man. Keep it tight.
I don't know how the hell anybody speaks for longer than 15 minutes. Who the hell do you think you are? Just like, honestly, what am I? Would you win a Nobel Prize or something?
That's it, man.
No, I increased my company's sales in the third quarter. Go die.
You die. Looking at you, Gratishar. Huh?
Anything past 15 minutes, you're just filling time.
That's it, man. That's it. 14 minutes, 18 seconds. Good job, Andre. So, not a great weekend for the Astros. We'll start off with the good. Biggest Astro developments from this weekend. Number one, Yusei Kikuchi. A positive first start. Here was Joe Espada. Now, the Astros, that was the only game they won all weekend. They won 3-2. Kikuchi had 5 2/3 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. At one point, struck out 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. Didn't start off great. 5 pitches in, he'd given up 2 runs already. Now, granted, I didn't see the home run because we were out to dinner. I missed the first inning. I only got push notifications on it. But evidently, yeah, the home run that he gave up was kind of a Minute Maid Park home run. Like, it would have been a home run only in, like, 4 other stadiums or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? So, Kikuchi ended up doing really well. Here was Joe Espada after the game on Friday on Kikuchi's first start as an Astro.
He sat there down the stairs. You know, he had his notes, like a little boxer head down. He was locked in. It's pretty intense. I like it. I love it. He fits right in. He was mixing very well. He slider more in zone. But you saw a lot of chases. And then the changeup, I thought it was the game changer for me, because that's kind of what we want him to do. You throw that changeup more in zone. And it's a really, really good pitch. And then that just makes his fastball a much better pitch. So they were ready to hit fastballs early on. And then after that second inning came around, he's like, you know what? I'm going to start mixing some of my off-speed pitches. And, man, he couldn't be any better.
Yeah, so when new Astros come into the organization, they have a meeting with the analytics staff. And Kikuchi had already had his meeting with the analytics staff where they kind of suggest how they might tweak their pitch selection. And that's one thing that's worked really, really well for various guys in the past. Obviously, the Astros are renowned for it. So the interesting thing was, you know, Tampa's really, really on point with developing their pitchers, too. And Tampa has seen a whole lot of Kikuchi. So they were just sitting and waiting for what they had seen of Kikuchi. But I wonder if I wonder, I'm trying to take this start with a grain of salt because I was really excited that it worked out. It worked out exactly the way that you and I had talked about, where, man, if he struggles a little bit but then reels it in and then it gets a bunch of strikeouts as he's known to do and he does it by way of the Astros have given him advice, then yeah, that's exactly what we were hoping for. I just wonder if it's, you know, Tampa, I was surprised that Tampa wasn't anticipating that he threw more changeups because I figured that their analytics people would be like, well, we know what the Astros do and they're going to recommend he throws more changeups.
That's a good point.
So the fact that they weren't anticipating it was a bit of a surprise. And now we just have to find out whether, okay, is it for real? Or did you just ambush the Rays? He would seen him a bunch of times in the AL East.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm excited about the first performance.
No, I don't either. Now, I will say this. The stories that we've heard of Astro pitchers adding a pitch or using more of a certain pitch this season have veered into the positive department. Like, Hunter Brown is probably the gold standard for this, right? Where he added the sinker. He started using his sinker more.
Alex Bregman's suggestion.
Yeah. And he's been outstanding since then. There's been no catching up.
He has been outstanding since then. I would say that when it comes to adding the changeup, because that's what they did with almost every pitcher, is like they had him add a changeup or throw more changeups. There's a positive correlation to that and guys getting injured, too. So I don't know, which is a small sample size, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just well, – I get nervous. What?
You only need him for 2 months. If he gets hurt, Kikuchi I'm talking about.
How long did your two UCL brothers last?
No, that's fair, but –
Javier and Urquidy.
Yeah, I know. Urquidy I put on a shelf when it comes to injury stuff. He's had all kinds of issues independent of that. Now, Javier is that – now, that's – fair point on Javier. Yeah, of course.
I honestly, this is what I worry about with the Astros, and I still worry about with the Kikuchi trade, is that there's a level of hubris when it comes to how good their analytics department is, because what's happened is the rest of the league has caught up, and just like every competitive advantage eventually becomes much smaller as people catch on to whatever you are doing. And I got to wait and see if this is for real or if this was just an ambush, because he's still a guy, you know, over the course of his career that does strike a lot of people up. So that's not a surprise.
Not new.
He's just not that consistent. So the one performance was awesome and I was glad to see it. I did not want him to have to go out there and struggle through a bad performance in front of a skeptical crowd. So that was awesome. And it was good to get one out of three victories versus the Rays. But I got to see it for the next 2 months.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, just to quantify, like, his changeup usage was way up. He used it 11% of the time this season. He used it 28% of the time on Friday. So nearly triple the amount he used that changeup. So that's number one. So the Kikuchi trade, one start in, is, you know, checking the Dana Brown side right now. One start in. We'll see what happens. Development number two. Not so great. The bats were terrible this weekend. They were awful. They were abysmal. I was going to go get the stats, but I'm like, do I need to just go compile the stats to tell people they batted, you know, 114 or whatever? I mean, they were awful this weekend. Offensively, they scored 4 runs all weekend long, and yesterday was just a really, really tough watch. They loaded the bases in the first inning. I turned to Amy when they load the bases with nobody out. I'm like, is there somewhere I can bet right now on them not scoring? Because I don't know that I've ever seen a team load the bases with nobody out and score less times when that happens than the Houston Astros. Here was Joe Espada following yesterday's 1-0 loss to the Rays.
I just think that we're going through a little funk. I don't necessarily call it pressing. We'll start getting some big hits here, you know, pretty soon.
Seth, I would submit the opposite. I would say they probably, without Kyle Tucker in the lineup, that they have during the month of July, when they were the best team in baseball in the month of July, they were hitting over their heads in the month of July. You know what I mean? Like, your 4, 5, and 6 hitters are Yiner Diaz, Jeremy Pena, and Jake Myers on most nights. You know, that's...
Yiner's been really good, though.
He
hasn't been part of the problem. He's been the one good guy that you can rely on since everybody else has fallen apart.
He is, but he's not... To me, there's a shelf life on Yiner being a 4-hole hitter for a playoff team. You know what I mean? Like,
Do we know what Yiner Diaz is yet? I mean, he's a 300 hitter this season. So I'm just, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just, it's, you know, I'd rather have Kyle Tucker in there, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying that he needs to displace or replace Kyle Tucker.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes. I just do think, were they hitting over their heads? I think they were hitting subpar and less than they were capable before. So, like, as good as they were in the month of July, they don't have to be that good all the time.
Yeah.
If they had just been, if they had been substandard but themselves in this weekend, they could have won. Saturday, it got away from them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like they're just going through a dry spell with their bats. I'm not overly concerned about it. You think about any good baseball team is generally playing a whole bunch of 500 baseball plus a few nice stretches during the season. So they just got to get one more nice stretch or two between now and October, and they'll be fine.
Here is, we'll get to Joe Espada in a second. So the bats were terrible this weekend. They had 9 games at home in a row. If they're going on the road, they're going to the right place. They usually hit well in Arlington. So that's where they'll be tonight for the next few games.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Number three, it looks like we may be getting Justin Verlander back fairly soon.
Yeah.
Verlander, he's got one more bullpen, going to see how he throws, and then hopefully a rehab assignment. He said over the weekend he's going to need a couple starts in the minor leagues, which is good news for Corpus Christi or Sugarland at the gate, I suppose, whichever one he ends up going to. Honestly, of all the things that happened this weekend with Justin Verlander, I thought the fact that they let him do an interview on Fox during the game on Saturday night was a sign to me, like, that things are going well with Justin Verlander. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think it was, that they let him or that he agreed to it? Like, what do you think? I don't think the Astros were going to, like, deny it, probably, right?
Okay.
I feel like if he agreed to it, he must be.
That he did the
good.
Interview. That he did the interview was a positive sign to me. Whether it was the Astros allowing him to do it, or whether it was him saying he wanted to do it. I thought Justin Verlander speaking publicly on national TV about his situation, to me, if he were still injured, I don't think if he were another month and a half away from being able to pitch in a major league game, he would not have done that spot with Fox, I don't think, on Saturday.
Would they have asked him? Plus, I guess that would be another thing, too, is I wonder if they would have asked him if there's other guys to talk to that are good interviews there. Although, who was the color commentator in there?
I don't know.
He's a son of a... on Singleton's home run, he's like cheering on the right fielder. Get up, get up, get up. Like, what the hell? What? This is a national broadcast, you homer? Like, and you're a homer for the Rays? Make better life choices.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know who... The only time I had the sound on for the Astros game was Verlander's interview. Other than that... SummerSlam was on Saturday night. That took audio precedence in the Pendergast household.
What's SummerSlam?
SummerSlam is like the WrestleMania of the summer. It's like WWE's like biggest card of the summertime.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, man. It's a big.
Anything big happen?
Yeah, Roman Reigns came back. Yeah, he returned. Yeah, the head of the table.
How long's he been gone?
He's been gone for 4 months since Cody Rhodes beat him for the title at WrestleMania. Yeah.
So were people thinking he retired or
no,
something?
No, no, no. They just knew he went away for a little while, and he came back, and they went ape bleep for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of stuff's happened while he was gone. He was a bad guy when he left, but a lot of stuff has happened since he's been gone that have kind of turned him into a good guy, believe it or not.
Like, is The Rock still a bad guy?
The Rock, we'll find out when he comes back. He was kind of attached to Roman Reigns before. He hasn't been back in 4 months. Yeah.
So he'd been kind of a bad guy, but now because he's attached to Roman Reigns, he might end up becoming popular.
Maybe, again. Or he might be. He might go against Roman Reigns because you know, like you just don't know. You know, it's.
I wouldn't trust either of them against Yiner Diaz in a fight. I'll tell you that much.
No.
I'm about to swing on you for you. Are you? Am I talking to Sean Pendergast or Dusty Baker here?
What?
I'm not quite positive.
That's.
I just. So who's the?
It's Yiner as a cleanup hitter. That's all. Yiner is a cleanup hitter in October. You know, that's my whole thing. That's my whole thing. So I would say 2 out of 3 developments positive. Verlander coming back. We should give the updates on the other ones. Luis
Garcia has been backed off a little bit.
Yeah, he had a good day. Yeah. He had a good day in the training room, according to a spot yesterday. I'm like, oh, yippee! and then I guess the other big thing was the team has come to grips with the fact that Lance McCullers will not pitch this season. Here was Joe Espada accepting the fact that Lance McCullers' time has just run out on him for 2024.
I've been talking to Lance a little bit, and you know where he's at right now. I think it's safe to say that I don't think he'll pitch this season. It'd be almost too much to ask for him to ramp up and get him back this season. You know, everything is moving in the right direction, but just where we're at right now, the number of games, I think it's that's where we're at.
So no McCullers.
Lance has pitched 265 innings since 2020. He's made 47 starts in that time. His contract runs through 2026. So, I mean, at this point, we got to add Lance to that list of things that's weighing Dana Brown down in his ability to actually kind of just maneuver with this baseball team, the amount of money that you're paying on dead money to Jose Abreu or Montero, the money to Lance McCullers. I always try to keep that in mind when, not to mention that he inherited a team with a depleted pipeline.
Yeah.
He's got weights around his ankle as he's trying to make some of these moves.
The only thing that saves McCullers' contract from being Abreu-esque is that he's not playing at all. Like Jose Abreu played and he was a negative. You know what I mean?
Like
Lance is a 0.0 wins above replacement because he's not playing at all. Jose Abreu, they actually had to trot him out there every day to be like a negative 1.8 WAR. You know what I mean?
He's a drain on the luxury tax situation, but at the very least, he's not actively hurting you on the field.
Correct.
But he's affecting roster management.
Correct.
Long term.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So not a great weekend for the Astros. Hopefully,
I wonder if James Click said that when he's up in the Toronto Blue Jays front office.
Right.
I wonder if right after they agreed to the deal and it went through, he's like, "So how's Lance doing?"
Troll.
Enjoying that contract? I
would
him?
If I were him. I would. I can carry a grudge. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Andre Johnson Hall of Fame speech was great. We'll have pieces of that for you throughout the rest of the show, including in headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros in headlines as well in case you missed that. Update on the Olympics as well. Good weekend for Houston in the Olympics, too. We'll get to all that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.